Hi, this is DM Roannon from Realms of Anacolia, and you're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
This is DM Michael with the Realms of Anacolia, and you're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Someone give me a tankard! This is going to get good!
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Welcome to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast, and you are listening to episode 58. Hi, I'm Michelle, a.k.a. Liso.
And I'm Trey, a.k.a. Asherkon Zelo. Episode 58.
Yeah. That's a big number. Yes, it is.
You ever thought we'd have that big a number?
No, actually. Well, yeah, kinda. We still have one more person listening, so we're gonna keep going. No.
So, I hear you've been playing quite a bit lately.
Oh, okay. You know, Wyrn released Dark Avenger 2, and I'm gonna give you guys a little small review without spoilers. Go play it. It is awesome. He raised the bar. He exceeded his part one, and it is just absolutely fabulous. I enjoyed it from beginning to end. It was very dynamic, very high energy, just enough little bits of dark humor to break it up, because it is a pretty dark story. And just go play it. Comment, vote, give him some encouragement, because he did a fantastic job, and he's working on part three.
Released to the public, or were you beta testing?
No, this is just released to the vault a couple weeks ago.
Cool.
And beta testing, I have to brag about this also, since this is, I guess we'll tell them about my vacation time or whatever it's going to be. Dirty Wick.
Hiatus.
My hiatus, yes. Dirty Wick, who released Subtlety of A last year, has got his Subtlety of A Part 2 in beta test. I have been playing it all for the last, like, two or three days, and it is phenomenal. I truly have not had this much fun playing a module since some of the big ones in Neverwinter Nights 1. He has seriously just blew me away. I thought Part 1 was great. Part 2, wow. Complete mind-blowing. It is fantastic, and I think he is planning on getting that out in June.
Cool. So everybody's looking forward to that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I guess you girls did the Girl Gamer Roundtable last week?
Yes, we did.
How did that go?
That went great. We had a great time. I enjoyed meeting everybody. I met QSW from the Vault. I met Lisa, also from the Vault and the DLA team. She's done an immense amount of modeling and contribution in Neverwinter Nights 1. And we had Lady Elvenstar, who's doing A Time to Die, and she's also a part of the parent gaming studios. And Teresa of the Realms of Anacolia. And me. And we gabbed for like 3 hours.
Chris, no way.
Put five women in a room, and we're going to do that.
I can't believe that.
And we actually had Roannon from Realms of Anacolia try to crash our party. Bad boy.
One of the little boys tried to crawl under the table, didn't they?
Yeah, Teresa gave him a lollipop and sent him home.
I was gonna ask if any little boys tried to join. I know y'all had moved it back to like 4 in the afternoon on a Friday, so I wasn't able to try to crash because I would have been at work.
Yeah, we did that for QSW because she is in England, and the other time would have got her up pretty late, and we wanted her to join us, so we rolled it back a little bit.
Also, coming up later in the show, we captured about 7 DMs from the Realms of Anacolia who got together and talked about their persistent world and all kinds of other cool stuff, so stay tuned and hear that and hear their passion about their world later in the show.
AME is the 2007 nominations for the module categories of Neverwinter Nights 1 have now been announced, and we have a link for that, and you can go check it out.
Actually, yes, I think those got announced the same night that our last episode came out, which was last Friday night.
Ah, well, we still have a link on there. If you haven't seen it yet, go check it out.
Hey, so when you were in L.A. at that press release, you didn't get a T-shirt?
No, Maximus got it. But I hear he's doing something pretty nifty with it.
Yeah, what's he doing?
He's giving it away in a contest on the vault.
Cool.
Like How cool is that?
In a drawing, didn't he?
Yep. Yeah. And I think they have it until June 6th at midnight.
Uh-huh. Yep, you can sign up. I went and signed up.
Did you?
Yeah. I'm thinking, hey, if maybe one of us win it, we can give it away as in a contest as well.
The shirt will be well-traveled.
So did you get to see the shirt?
Yes, I did. Cool. Oh, also, Russ and Russ Davis and Alan Miranda were wearing theirs. So.
Oh, cool. Cool.
They got modeled for us, so I have seen the whole shirt.
Okay, now sit back and eavesdrop on the Dungeon Masters from Anacolia as you enter into their realm.
Okay, we have with us several DMs from Anacolia. We have Mikhail, or Michael as he calls it, who runs the Horse Lords, and has done a lot of other DMing, and he started out as a PA with us, maybe, and then Roannon, who also does several campaigns. He's working on To Catch a Falling Star. You guys are going to have to tell us how long you've been with Anacolia, because I can't remember. Embarrassed, but...
When I look at my log on to the forum for the first time, it was July 2005. When I created my account there. So I was playing probably late June, early July, since 2005.
I joined in November of 2005.
And then we have Flamecrow, who's in the Netherlands. He's the scripter for our custom character classes and has contributed a number of areas to the module, besides helping me moderate the forum, which is no small task. Or administrate the forum. And, of course, Barry.
Hello.
So say hi, Flamecrow.
Oh, hello. Yeah, I wasn't sure when I was supposed to talk because she just kept going on and I didn't want to interrupt her.
So we were going to start with a discussion about how to keep a persistent world vibrant and alive for the players, and how that is kind of different than doing a module. So Barry and Mikhail, we're going to discuss that. Do you want to take it from there?
Go ahead, Barry.
Okay, a persistent world is, I thought, maybe a quick definition of what a persistent world is. At least off the wiki, it says that a virtual world that continues to exist even after a user exits the world, and that the user made changes to its state are to some extent permanent. All right, so let's start from there. Anacolia was created from my maps, campaign notes, and activities from way back when we first started playing D&D, which was around publication of D&D in the 70s, we've built the world with a history and many of the different things that would go into it. So I was going to cover basically what I felt was necessary for a world. You need races. You need to define what the races are like, because it's not always the same from world to world. For instance, halflings and elves on Anacolia are not like they are on Faerun. They're more like they are in the Lord of the Rings. You have classes. We have some different classes from that, which are in other Neverwinter Nights areas, some custom classes. Regions, religions that are unique. Such unique gods for Anacolia, which like Benthar and St. Marcus. You wanted to say anything on that so far, Mike?
I just know when I came to Anacolia, being a persistent world, and being a new player to it, one of the things that I really loved about this particular place was there was a lot of immediate references that anybody could pick up on and just start role-playing with. There is a lot of allusion to the Lord of the Rings, and you can come in immediately be a hobbit or know about Bree or any of that kind of mythology associated with Tolkien, and you can start to play on the server. With Anacolia, though, I think players should note, I noticed one of the big problems that people have is they're bringing in some of the way things operate from other worlds, or like for Drow. You know, they have Drow always being evil, and in our world it's not the case. I was wanting to talk about, though, some of the things that we do for the players who keep returning time and time again, and what we do through administration and DMs to keep things interesting. I think one of our comments we make is there's only so many wait times you can save someone who's missing, you know, defend a town, you know, or any of certain plot points. There's only so many plots one can run as a game. I mean, I think the one I do for every new player that comes on is I have pixies attack them and turn them into like a cow or something. And for new players, that's fine. But for the old players and the returning players, we need to keep it interesting. And so some of the things that we do, they tend to be mostly limited to the campaigns where we can control the rules of the game, or just we can mix things up. And I know when I started off with Horse Lords and running that game, one of the first things I noticed was in our usual campaigns, the average player levels are around like 6 or to 12, kind of that low to mid-range. And one of the things I wanted to do with Horse Lords right away was to really bump up their levels and really make it an epic campaign. So they had all these feats to draw upon or all these spells, and to really add some dynamics to the action in the game. So very quickly, we started leveling in an atypical fashion for this server, where I was giving more experience points or just flat-out levels. And very quickly, you know, everyone was 15, 16, 17 in levels, and now new players don't even start that campaign without being level 15. And that can really change the dynamics with having so much experience under your belt. The other things we can do within a game to really kind of keep things mixed up is to play around with the magic. I've always kind of considered Anacolia a high magic world in which there's a lot of enchanted gear that a player can take and really change the dynamics of their play. And again, with Horse Lords, that is a very high magic game where there's a lot of enchanted equipment you can use. But one of the things that we're talking about trying for an upcoming game that Rowanen and I want to run is to make it very low magic and actually ban any enchanted gear that the players can use, because that will just change the way a character will respond in a game. Instead of having a, you know, haste, you know, now they're going to require a mage who can cast that spell, or invisibility instead of the ring of invisibility. We're going to make it require much more of how you build the character versus how you equip the character. And I think for a lot of players on the server, this is going to be something of a challenge to them, because we're just used to going to grab the belt of guiding light to prevent fear when you're a low level. Now you're going to need to come up with a different way of doing that. We've also tried changing around some of the restrictions in a game. We've tried to make a cleric worthy of being a cleric by saying only clerics or druids can heal, or actually in the case of our Merchants of Mayhem game, resurrect fallen players. Again, typically you can get just a scroll that'll raise them, and we wanted to add a little bit more role play to that. I think probably the other things, too, what we do to keep the games alive and interesting for folks is do what we can to mix up the role play. Evil characters are not allowed for the players. Players are, as we say, evil is the realm of the DM on Anacolia. And so we really want players to log on and have personalities in their characters that make them agreeable to be around other folks, to be harmonious, you know, so everyone gets along.
That doesn't mean that you couldn't have a world that is all evil, where the players could play evil and neutral characters, and good would be the realm of the DM.
Oh, yeah, and this is just a perspective.
Right.
But the point that I want to make is everybody needs to have an attitude that is harmonious with one another. You come on and you're playing a belligerent, unfriendly individual, you're not going to get far in this world. So in some ways that limits your role play. But one of the fun things, and I wasn't sure how this was going to turn out, but with Horse Lords, at one point in the game, through the progress of the story, they started to have these memories that would come back to them of previous writers. And some of these personalities that these characters were then having to take on would not have been great to use in regular play. Some of these players, some of these memories they were having to role play were mean people, cranky people, rude people, and it was really funny taking Sunny, who was one of Charissa's characters, who was the sweet, lovable, nice elven horse lord, and all of a sudden we made her a cold, calculating bitch, and and she played it wonderfully. But I don't. This is not a type of role play that would be very suitable to just everyone coming on, but it's a kind of another side and a way to explore our different personalities. And I think by just trying to set it up, the opportunity in the game, in order you were able to do that. Another really cool thing that goes on the server actually occurs off the server, and that is the role play that is done via the forum that can keep a game going through the week from time to time, as well as just elaborate on characters. And I think one of the best examples on that on our server is the Jessup sketchbook that was created by Lord Guinness. It makes me laugh. I don't know how many times when I read it on how he describes the different games that he plays in, and it keeps the game going. It adds another element to the game. And it's stuff that actually carries back into the game, because I've been in there where he says, you know, open sketchbook and shows it to a character. And it just really makes it dynamic. And it goes beyond that, where characters can have their own threads that play out on the forum, where I know as administration we read them, and it helps influence how we interact with those characters when we catch them on the server. If we know they're a paladin or worshipping something or in search of something, it really helps us as administration augment their play style on the game.
Forum's very important to a persistent world. It's one of the things that we had to get up and running immediately when we started the world, because they need that place to write and interact.
Go ahead, Mikhail.
And it gives the chance for a story that's being told on the server to be expanded more. It seems like when you get like 8 to 12 people in a game and everybody has their own little conversation going on, players may miss certain elements of what's happening. And I think the forum is a place to really bring a game together, pull in all the missing pieces, so you don't need to be trying to read every line that comes across in the chat box during a game, but the cohesiveness can come together on the forum, and I think that helps eliminate a lot of confusion that can come up during the course of a game.
So you brought up the thing about the forum. Another thing the forum does is to convey information, the out-of-character information that we need players to at least learn about our server norms, like how we do the role play, what kind of etiquette we want and stuff. We try to welcome our new players with giving them the benefit of the doubt that they are there to have fun and they'll learn the rules and learn their way around. I think we're known as a friendly, persistent world. Even been known to give people tours, out of character tours. Perhaps I should move on to the pitfalls and.
Well, I wanted to cover the timeline
All right.
On the history and making of a persistent, well, at least I think that a persistent world should have a good, solid history. So a couple of examples, such as races develop how the world began. I wrote down one example is our halflings believe that the world is a giant pie, and they cite that the world's surface being called a crust is proof that the world is a giant pie. So the great baker made the world in the beginning, and you know, mythologies that help to create a depth for the world. So we have a timeline with important events, which include great things that happen from heroes and villains and their deeds, wars, and with great and disastrous events plotted in a timeline for the past, which also give the DMs things that they can plug into, such as the Horse Lords, which are based upon past historical events and drawing upon what's happening now as a result of those past historical events.
The timeline, I should mention, was worked out with a group of people, including Flamecrow and Athena, and another person that's gone on to our from our persistent world, Elias Stormcrow. He helped by getting us to pin down some of these events, Barry and I, from our long time ago pencil and paper. But the people that have come since then, like Flamecrow and Roannon, have added, and Mikhail and Feather have added things to the timeline. It's gotten fleshed out more. Perhaps we want to go on. Go ahead.
I'm just butting in, but you just set up. I was there originally, and I'm there afterwards. I'm not
That's
a good
true.
Place at once, am I?
Well, you can be. In our world, you can.
I may just be confused.
You're part of it all. Everybody, the point I wanted to get at is it's a synergistic thing that we all work together, and that's the beauty of, one of the beauties of Persistent Worlds is the people, not just the DMs, but the players are making it the magic that makes it more than the sum of its parts.
Yeah, I was going to say, one of the things that I've always really liked about this world was how there was a lot of crossover in stories that go on, be it a character burns down a building, and then something happens, the building's rebuilt, or the actions that occur in one game spill over into the actions in another game. And right now, you know, we're talking about the mythology and how having that as the depth. Let's keep in mind, anyone who logs onto the server at this moment is going to find the world in political unrest because of the upheaval that went on with the coup of the monarchy. So we've got a lot of story going on at all times on the server.
The king and queen of Anacolia were overthrown by the queen's brother, Emrys.
And he's not a nice guy.
Feather is on!
Yay!
And we've actually had festivals that would, you know, were denouncing the king. That just occurred to me when Raven made the little statue where people who could throw tomatoes at it. But again, just another element to keep things interesting on the server.
We've smattered around northern Anacolia troops that have come and are invading areas in the south, if you call it that. They consider it that they're just patrolling their own property or realm, but that adds to it too, adds surprises for players that come across an encampment that isn't normally there. So Feather, we're pretty much where we can go to the next topic, which is the pitfalls and the joys of running a persistent world. I wanted to start with, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, right? So go ahead.
Oh, okay. I should have introduced you, too. Feather was having difficulty logging into the Skypecast, and she's with us now. You probably...
Hooray.
She's one of our ongoing DMs, and she's in the Pacific Coast time zone, so sometimes she's lonely. So those of you on the Pacific Coast should join up then. She's quite a creative role player. She comes up with some really interesting ongoing characters, and she's also contributed with building some areas.
Her time zone's also, when she's on, good for Australia and the Pacific Orient time, if you're out there listening.
And if you always do up and like getting up early, join her too!
Yes. Yeah.
So anyway, one of the things when you start a persistent world is you have several questions that you need to answer. One is, are you going to do a password versus open? And I came up with some advantages to that. You get more drop-in players, and you get players that are completely new to the game and are eager to learn. The disadvantages to that are some of the quality of players, and to put it bluntly, you'll get some real jerks on your server if it's open, and you have to address that and be able to figure out what you're going to do. There are levels of passwords. You can have one that's a completely application, and then there's another way you can do it is have it so they have to join your forum to get the password. Do you have anything to add to that, Feather?
No, it's always kind of surprising to me that people will come and sign up for something that actually isn't costing them any money and then behave badly. But usually they don't stay around too long. And sometimes it's just ignorance, and a gentle explanation of the rules and expected behavior is enough.
Exactly. Sometimes we end up getting, even now I think we've gotten some ranked beginners that don't even know the player or the user interface. I feel our DMs are really good about helping them with that. Another question you have to answer is whether you're going to have hacks or not. Some of you may not know what a hack is. It's stuff that adds to the original Neverwinter Nights program content. And the advantages to no hacks is, again, you get more drop-in players. Or the disadvantages to hacks is that it's harder for players to join. It limits your palette and your tool set for building, and it can get boring. Of course, the advantages to hacks is it opens up more creative options for builders, script writers, and plot
DM?
Design. Yeah. And it also opens up more creative options for players. For example, on our server we have the tailor. Without the hack, you wouldn't have that. It creates more eye candy. And I can't prove it, but I believe it. It gives us a higher quality of players. So in some ways it's like having a password. Two other questions you have to answer: are you going to allow PvP or CVC, which is player versus player or character versus character, or are you going to allow it? And also the final question is, are you going to make it youth-friendly or for mature audiences? So I'll let Feather take it from there.
I think that being youth-friendly, obviously, set some limits on what kind of role play, but on the other hand, it makes it comfortable for people who might not be all that comfortable with a different kind of setting. So I really like the balance, the PG-13 that Anacolia set. It allows people to be creative without making other players uncomfortable with what might be going on.
We made that decision early on because our son is one of the regular players on our server. He started out when he was 9. He's now 14. He's a DM. It's Wolfgang. And it was just something we decided to make it youth-friendly. We do have a number of families on our server whose children play, too. And one time Lady Roleplay ran a game that was specifically for youth on our server. Some of the things that the joys I've had is meeting new people, making friends all over the world, and like I said, when all the pieces fall together, you get a group of fantastic role players, interesting characters, and a great setting and story. There's a magic, a sense of wonder. It transcends the mundane. Halloween Foxy is mentioning Wolfgang's avatar. He is a dire rabbit, a giant dire rabbit, which is pretty funny.
I just really kind of like, it's almost like a fishing aspect. Getting the stories that you want to tell is awfully fun for a DM. You can spread a kind of a saga out over months of campaign play. But it's also really fun to just follow a couple of players around. I did that the other night, and they came to a big hole, and I thought, well, what would happen if there was something smelly coming out of the hole? So I dropped some fumes, and so they climbed down, and I thought, well, what would be making the smell? So I put in a dead dragon, and they just ran with it. It was just fabulous. They found the dragon, and they role-played being ill and fumes and just hammed it up and came back and reported a dead dragon in the basement. Of course, none of the guards believed them. Like, what do you mean a dead dragon? So it was just really fun. And I think that's the really upside of being a DM is that with some talented role players, you can just sit and have a tremendous amount of fun for 2 hours.
One of the things I think you mentioned before when we talked about this is feathers that, you know, at being a DM, a disadvantage of running the persistent world is, you know, the like the backside of the making.
Yeah, felt very much like peeking behind the curtain in The Wizard of Oz. Suddenly, it's a little bit in the back of your mind. Even when you're playing, you kind of know what's going on, but it makes up for it just by being able to create that same kind of magic for somebody else.
I remember
Skunk had a question. I'm sorry. Skunk had a question. He was wondering, what's the opinion on servers that request players to fill out applications, since we're kind of in that topic right now?
Well, Feather, do you want to answer that?
I don't know that you can really tell what kind of a role player somebody is by an application. I guess if they're articulate, that gives you some idea, but lots of people on the server, because you're open to the wide world, they may have trouble with English, and we've had some really fabulous role players. Some of them have turned into assistant DMs or apprentice DMs who didn't start out well expressing English and have really progressed, so I don't know that an application is all that helpful.
Yeah, the server can really help in gaining some competency in English for a non-native speaker.
Yes, or for native speakers, too.
A few of us, yes. Especially children learning. I mean, my son was 9 years old when we started building Anacolia. He's now 14. And he essentially learned to write and communicate and spell well using Neverwinter Nights.
Of course, any application is only going to be as good as the questions that are on it. So depending on what questions the server owners ask, is
yes,
going to
exactly.
determine what kind of input or feedback they're going to get from their prospective players. I ran across two servers that were application only back, you know, a couple of years ago when I was looking for a multiplayer game to play, and I didn't bother. I just kept going.
Well, I was
going
to say, one of Anacolia does not require application to come. You can come on and be any of the basic builds that are available. Anything that's good to neutral will be accepted. Any of the classes are acceptable. You don't need to apply for those. You have application-only characters, and they include evil alignment, Drow, Wemmick, what are some other?
Pixie.
Yeah, anything like that requires an application. Extreme storylines for your character require an application because we don't want anything that's history or world altering right away, especially from a new character player who may not understand it. So I think behind the scenes we've developed kind of a unwritten rule on accepting applications. I know I personally vote no on all applications unless I've seen the player be on the server for about 6 months or I've participated in some games with them so I know their roleplay style before I will approve something or an application. And I think the other administration has their own little criteria. And when a new player meets that, then we will accept an application for the Wemmicks or other type pixies or any type of specialized character they want to play.
Yes. Another thing to keep in mind about applications, if you ask a player to write such an application before they even get a chance to try out your server, then you are, in a way, making a boundary for them because they first have to think up their character. They have to write it down. They have to... It almost starts feeling like taking a test. It's like, is this my exam? Am I doing it right? It becomes a boundary for a player to actually experience your server. So
exactly.
I'd personally say that you'd be better off to at least let your players first experience your server so they have a feel for what is the server about. And because otherwise you can end up with characters that make no sense to the server, but in itself may be very good characters. Whereas if the player would have, say, a week, they would have known this.
And we've had people come on with characters that really don't fit in properly to the world, and they learn after a little bit that, well, maybe this character isn't right, but I really like this world, so I'm going to make a new character, or I'm going to adjust this one to fit.
Yeah, I've noticed players come on, and they have a favorite character that they've made in some other games, and they immediately try to start off with that character in Anacolia, and quickly they find that that doesn't work. My recommendation for players coming on is be a human farmer getting out to see the world with no history behind you, and give that as a chance to explore for a couple weeks the history that's there, and then once you get an idea of the different worlds, then say, okay, let me now make a character that I will use to be my main character. I think I went through two or three characters as I was trying to settle in before I settled in on my main characters and the ones that I've come up since then.
One of the things we've had as running the server is when we get some of those applications, we've had players that come on the forum, write elaborate applications for or histories for characters. If we spend a whole lot of effort on them as DMs trying to help them, I know Flamecrow has worked with some players. They just go through all the, we go through a lot of helping them and spend a lot of effort on them, and then they don't play. So we have to be careful about putting a lot of effort in some of these applications because we'll get disappointed. So that's a disadvantage to having applications only on your persistent world.
When people write an application for a character, I like to see something short because some people like to write these elaborate, long histories of a character. Well, they're essentially playing the character before the character plays. I like to see the histories develop as role play develops. And develop a history. I mean, you can have a brief background. He's come from he's a miller's son and lived in the Shire and likes to eat berry pies that he steals from the Temple of Marcus. That's plain, simple, and get you started.
So, Flamecrow, do you want to talk about our apprentice DM program and how we sort of developed that?
Do I know how we develop something that develops over time, really? You can't just start off with apprentice DMs like you want to teach people how to DM, and you just say, okay, if you do this and this and this, you're a good DM. It doesn't work that way. It's a dynamic process, mostly because it's very person-orientated. A team at any certain point, any DM team, works best with people of a likewise mindset. That likewise mindset is very important also in your apprentice DMs. And I think it's essential to eventually becoming a full DM that you fit within your DM team for your specific world. Because you can be the best DM out there, but if your play style, your entire DM style is very different than the one that both the players and also the other DMs on the server are used to, then you may very well not make a good DM for that specific server. What you do when you have this apprentice program is you learn through working with different apprentices, and really some people haven't made full DM who have been an apprentice here. That doesn't make those people bad DMs. They just didn't really have the same mindset or the same goals as the DM team of this world. So what's very important when you work in such an apprentice DM program is that you don't think of... Really, you cannot fail in an apprentice DM program. You can only eventually not be right for this specific server. And that's very important to clarify that to people so they don't feel rejected in any way, because they're not being rejected. They are just not a good fit for your current team. And not to go a bit to elaborate on a different matter of the apprentice program, really the widgets and the mechanics of the DM client are of course important, the DMFI and such, but the most important thing eventually is learning about your players, learning how to make a good game happen, and also in a way how to make a balanced game happen. That's my personal thing. I'm an absolute idiot with apprentices, I always keep bitching about balance all day long. And some people disagree with me, and I always accept that the balance they eventually find isn't exactly my balance. But what's important is that you don't end up going around like, oh, hey, yes, I can spawn monsters, so good, so let's spawn 20 level 200 dragons on that party there, and oh, oops, I killed them. And if you do that at once, that's fine. Something like that can always be. Players will start to get annoyed by it. And so you need to find a certain good balance between challenging your players and also at the same time not killing them outright. You don't want to make your players angry after all, because as a DM, you can make a great game, but if you don't have any players who want to play with you, then it's quite useless.
Yeah, we want to avoid total player kills. It happens sometimes, but then you have to bring in the cavalry to rescue him. I try to do that in character if I can by bringing an NPC if that happens. I don't think we've had many total player kills, but it does happen, especially when we first started out. One of the things we have our apprentices read is Carla Wund's article about DMing in a persistent world, or at least I ask them to read that. When I have them apply, is I ask them to tell us what their style of DMing is, what they feel the role of a DM is. And I think our general policy is that a DM is a facilitator and a storyteller. He's not an adversary, or she is not an adversary to the players. We may joke about that, but I think everybody on the team agrees that we're storytellers. And of course I realize each of us has our own style. Some of us like to do the higher level campaigns, and some of us do things more fighting, and others do more role play. I think we all work together well regardless. We allow for a lot of style differences in our team.
Well, I wanted to quote E. Gary Gygax earlier that it's a player, the player and the DM engage in a sort of mass insanity.
to create a story. It's a fantasy experience, and that the goal is to have fun. So anybody that has the idea that the DM's an adversarial or opponent position, of course, won't get anywhere from our perspective on how to DM.
We have learned from our mistakes, and I'm sure anybody starting a persistent world is going to experience this. We giving trust to people that have later stabbed us in the back. The one that called Barry a name. I don't know if it's okay for me to mention that. Okay, well, we had one person that came on the server, and this was before we really had our apprenticeship worked out better, some of the kinks ironed out of it, and he came on, and he was, like, really friendly and worked his way up into the administration and then stabbed us in the back and called Barry the King of Arslan, and it was kind of ugly, but it's past, and I think a lot
I
still of...
I retain the title, though.
Yes, he just likes being a royalty. I think it's important that people realize that once, even when people have become full DMs, you're still a team. You still rely on one another.
You're still learning.
In a good team, you can really, if you have a problem, you can talk to other people. If you just need to vent sometime, we can just talk to each other, and we can do that, and there won't be any hard feelings or ill will because of that. And that, I think that's very important. So that you can help each other out and listen to each other, and also at times when things just go wrong, comfort each other.
We've got quite an extensive section on the forums that the DMs use to communicate, and I think that's really key in the way that Anacolia works. We tell each other what's been happening. We let people know where we're going with our games. If we're changing some plots, we make sure that everybody knows what's happening in the world. We let people know if we've had an incident during gameplay that we just want to keep an eye. And sometimes it's just a one-off, but because we're communicating, we can see trends. And it's really supportive. Because you don't feel like, for myself, I'm often on DMing alone, it's really great to know that the rest of the team is behind me if I made some decisions or whatever, and I need to tell them about it, let me know what's going on, and that I support it. It's really great.
Good point, Heather. I know that it's hard sometimes if I'm working on a plot. We have some our DMs also are players, and sometimes they're in campaigns and we're progressing on a plot. I have to be careful on the DM threads in the forum about revealing spoilers for them. So I try to give them enough information so that they can continue this cross-pollination of the threads and their campaigns, because like Feather said, that's one thing that's important in a persistent world, is that things that happen in other campaigns or that could touch the players in the world are also continued elsewhere.
I think that's something that I always tell people when I'm talking about Anacolia, what I think is one of its strengths, is that the DMs also play. You know, some times their worlds will get so that people only DM, and I think that's really a mistake. I think that you have to be on the player side to understand what it feels like to be on the receiving end of the ideas. And it just really keeps sparking the interest. I think it keeps your interest in the server and your own storylines alive if you're playing as well as DMing.
That kind of goes back also to part of the vibrancy thing that we were talking about. One of the tough things. I wish Athena Meter were able to make it, but one of the plot complications, I guess you could say, that she added to the world was the rise of Glory.
Yes.
Who is the goddess of the goblins. And we actually, she kind of let me in on the secret early because we started incorporating Glory or whispers of Glory's future ascendancy in earlier games, one-shots, some limited campaigns we had going. And there was a happy hour at the Feisty Chicken game one Saturday night that involved Glory. And she and I and Charissa and Barry were the DMs that night. I think Feather was there too. And we were all talking on TeamSpeak. And Athena was trying so hard to get things across to the DM team without letting out any spoilers to the other three. That I mean, I think we did it well enough that when things happened, it was a bit of a surprise. But that was my point. If I actually made a point, or if I'm just rambling, I don't know.
That's one thing you brought up, the Feisty Chicken. We try to have a regular game that's open and introductory for new players to join. And one of the things that's hard with that is to balance. We've kind of limited the level for that of 15. It becomes difficult to do any combat when there is more than a few levels of difference between the characters playing. It's hard to have like a 30th level character in with a group of 6th level characters and do any kind of battle. We've encouraged the players that join that to stay in the back if there's combat and just role play. And usually if a player's reached that level, they know that that's expected of them. Sometimes they have to be reminded because in the thick of gaming, they forget. But again, I was trying to point out about the ongoing game that we have regularly every week that's open to anybody that wants to join. If we encourage new players, it's good to have something like that if you're having a persistent world. So I guess I'd like to thank Trey and Dave for having us, and I hope to see some new persistent worlds out there. We really want to encourage Neverwinter Nights as a viable game, and anybody that's enthused about it and can do that, we encourage them to have the opportunity to be creative and put that game out there.
And if they need help, contact us.
Yes, you're all welcome, and thank you for coming on the show and doing a roundtable like this. I think everybody really likes these roundtables. Why don't we end the roundtable by having each of the DMs give one last comment or whatever you want to say for the listeners?
All right, Mike.
You know, when I came to Anacolia, I really had little experience about D&D or roleplay under my belt. I don't think players should be at all intimidated by that coming here. We're here to help and help guide you through the process. And as long as you're able to communicate with us, we'll help you be part of the world. So come on board.
Rowanan.
When I joined ROA, well, I've been playing D&D since 77. And Realms of Anacolia, to me, is the closest I can get to the P&P experience without actually sitting down with the books and a pad of paper and a pencil. And a well-run, persistent world, I think, can do that.
Feather.
I was very shy when I started to play on a multi-world, and I have to just say to anybody who hasn't played multiplayer that the ability to interact with other people is really amazing. And to encourage those of you who've stuck with single play to take the plunge and click on GameSpy, click on the multiplayer, pick a world and try it out, and I think you'll become a convert. It's really fun.
Blame Crow.
Well, to everyone whose English is not that good, don't worry. You'll learn as you go. I still don't know the name of half of the smile thingies and God knows what. It doesn't matter. Anyone can rule woefully, regardless of how good your English is. So just give it a try. Go out there. Have fun.
Barry?
I think that, for me, the world, the reason for having it is to do D&D online with people that want to play Dungeons & Dragons like I do. And that D&D experience, the pencil and paper type experience, is what we're aiming at. And we're trying to get as close as we can. I enjoy it, or we wouldn't still have the server up.
And as I guess I'll take off on Feather's comment, I agree. I never really finished the original content. For me, it's the interaction with other players. And the only way you're going to get that is if you try, click on the multiplayer and go to GameSpy and try it out. And I'm sure you'll like it. Don't give up if you get on a world that's not as friendly, or if it's not to your liking, there's others out there. Just try it, and I think you'll like it. Well, thank you for having us.
All right. So, once again, thank you, everybody. And I guess we'll see you in-game.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hopefully, yes.
And leveling up.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
Thanks, everyone, and goodbye. Or, yes. Well, see you
later. Yeah, I don't know if he...
Thank you.
Hanging up now.
Bye-bye.
I don't want to hang up.
Au revoir.
Bye.
Bye.
Enjoy.
And we're back.
Are we back?
I think so. Wasn't that an awesome interview?
Well, actually, it wasn't an interview. It was a roundtable.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, those guys really love their world, and they're pretty good at it, too. I know I don't think you've had a chance to go play on it, but...
No, I haven't yet. I've been encouraged to do so, but I've just not gotten around to doing it yet. And I will. I eventually will. I'll wait till you guys decide to go in some night, and I'll tag along.
Okay. Yeah, because I guess a lot of the girls in your roundtable are from Anacolia, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, a few other little things, and we'll wrap up the show for this week. I know in the summer months we seem to kind of get a slowdown in the comments to our shows, and probably listeners as well, you know, with vacations and whatnot, and a lot of members take a break from the community. So I was thinking maybe we should have some monthly drawings for our listeners who leave comments each week. If you left a comment on any of the shows, say within a month, we'll throw your name into a hat, and then we'll have a drawing.
Tell them what they're going to win, Trey.
And we've actually got some T-shirts created out on the Cafe Press, and so we're going to try to give away those for the winners.
How cool would it be to walk around with the Neverwinter Nights podcast T-shirt and explain to everybody what it is? I need two podcast T-shirts, one that actually fits and one that's really big so I can sleep in it.
So I'm thinking the way it'll work is, okay, say there's, like in May, there was actually 6 episodes that we put out. So if you commented each time, that could be 6 entries for you into the hat. If you commented more than once, of course, per episode, I thought we would throw in your name as many times as you left a comment. Do you think that's too much, or you think that would work out?
I think Halloween Foxy's going to spam us to death.
Maybe we'll just do one per.
Yeah, one per show.
But anyway, so let us know what you think about that. We might start that up in June. Speaking of taking a break from the community, I guess I learned about some sad news tonight right before we were going to record the show. You want to tell them, Michelle?
I am going to be... Trey, stop it. I am going to be taking a couple of months off recording the show. I am still going to be doing interviews, but unfortunately, I can't stay to a stuck schedule for the next couple of months. So doing interviews, I can kind of schedule around my world. And I won't be doing any shows until August.
Michelle's world. world.
Michelle's world. It's a very scary place.
Yep, we're gonna miss you for a couple of months there. I know I definitely will.
I'll miss you guys too. You know I love doing the show. But I am going to contribute. I am going to do interviews, so you guys are still going to have to listen to my goofy self.
And tell the listeners who is going to take your place for a while.
Mr. Skunkalicious. Skunk King.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that'll get him going.
Oh, he's Skunkalicious and Skunkaroo. I've nicknamed him those both.
Okay.
So Mr. Skunk King is going to be taking my
place. I'm not
going to
be calling him that.
I'm going to be out of town, and I'm going to get on my laptop, and I'm going to leave a listener hello saying, "Hey, Skunkaroo, thank you for taking my place."
So for the episodes in June and most of July, probably. Maybe you'll be back in August?
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us next week when we have Zach Holbrook, 2007 Mod of the Year Award winner. So until next week.
Get in game.
And level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2008.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. It's like June 7th.
It's my birthday.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
I have to sing happy birthday on the show. Dave, sing happy birthday real quick.
It's not my birthday yet.
Yeah, but so, it will be. It will be when that show goes out.
Can't put anything over on her.
Actually, Johnny's will be the day the show comes out. This is Friday.
Go.
Sing it. Happy birthday to you.
God.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, penultimate Neverwinter Nights player. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, it hurts.
I knew he could do that well. I don't know why I knew that.
Dave Monroe.
Don't tell anyone, Trey.